Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
There's only one story in town today after the green and red ended a 75-year wait for the Sam Maguire Cup, sparking a monumental outpouring of joy in the stands and across the country. My own colleague Annette Freeman is with me on the line today. I bet you're glad to postpone that holiday, Annette.
Oh, Andrea, I am the happiest woman alive that I postponed that flight. And thank you for you as a friend and a colleague. We had a conversation the night before, like Wednesday 2 weeks ago, and you were like, "And what are you thinking? Postpone those flights." And I suppose we have been, you know, had so much heartache since 2004, before that, and 96, 97, you know, I think myself and my husband were like, look, it is what it is, you know, stay waiting, we'll just be happy. But we saw since, and we moved the flights, and I'm actually on the Aer Lingus flight now, waiting to taxi out onto the runway and head to Perpignan.
wouldn't have been quite the same watching the match yesterday France.
I wouldn't have liked to have landed in Perpignan and looked at my husband and may always have won the All-Ireland and him not to go back. Or me. What a day. It's the best day. It's the best day of our lives.
That feeling today, Annette, because I know for you and your own family and family that have travelled up, obviously, to be in Dublin, whether they'd managed to get tickets or not, but even just to enjoy the celebrations in our capital city. How are you feeling today?
I suppose I'm feeling tired, very tired. Didn't get a lot of sleep last night, as you can imagine. Shocked, I think, still a little bit shocked. We went through Dublin Airport today in Terminal 2 and everyone congratulating us, stopping us, like, you know, everybody. It's so overwhelming, and I think it'll take a good few days for this to sink in. And I think I'm looking forward to getting back to Mayo. It'll be the second week in August now, but I, you know, that party will last for a long time. Mm. It's hard to miss the homecoming today, all of those celebrations, but we'll be watching from afar. And it was just amazing to have been in Crow Park yesterday. It was something truly special sitting beside my 11-year-old, and to watch them win was just magical. Like, it was amazing. Like, just, I never thought, like, I'm sorry, like, I'm only 44, but, like, you know, my father was born the day Mayo won the last All-Ireland, and the 23rd of September 1951, and, like, he thought he'd never see it. You know, like, it's just so, it's unbelievable. It's exactly like Colin Boyle was there during the sports bulletin there, just while I was on hold, and he said, like, nobody knew what to do. And at various times during the match, like, you'd look at the person beside you that you might know or you didn't know, and, you know, the look of fear, and then somebody be crying, and all this range of emotions in this small space where people in your view. And it was like, are we going to do it? And then it was 68 minutes 69 minutes, and can we hold on, can we do this? And it was just like, it's just a dream. I cannot believe it. I'm just so happy for Andy Moore and for the lads, you know, Colin Boyle, Keith Higgins, like Kobe, the wonder boy, who managed to get a photo of it down at the sideline.
I saw that on your daughter. It was fabulous picture, Annette,
unbelievable. That's gone to the Mayo News, by the way, Andrea. I hope it makes it to print.
It's fantastic. And you can hear the emotion. And I know, Annette, that from knowing you, you're obviously a very proud Mayo woman and GAA Mayo supporter as well. So I know it meant an awful lot to you and your husband and for your daughter to be there in Crow Park yesterday and to witness this. So I'm delighted that you got to do it.
We want to just say, my husband is saying to me here, a special mention to Jack Coyne, who's from Ballyhonus, and his speech, and he went to school in Loughboy in Ballyhonus, where my husband went to school, and we're so, so proud of Jack Coyne as captain of the Mayo team. We just want to say that.
It's fantastic.
That's it.
Enjoy your holidays, Annette, and thanks a million for taking the call from the runway, basically, there at Dublin Airport this afternoon. But you can't but feel and be delighted for the people of Mayo after just such a victorious win. James is on the line as well, because, James, you're joining us from Achill this lunchtime. You were in Hill 16 yesterday, though.
James, Kilbane, Andrea. Yeah, I was in Hill 16, and what an amazing day. And, you know, it's just amazing. Mayo have Sam. Eventually, we've got it through the hope and the heartache and so many wonderful days. I'm over 40 years going to Croke Park, and yesterday on the hill yesterday was just amazing. It was electric. There was people, there was so many people of every age profile, and it was just ecstatic. But even at the beginning, the excitement was there. The anticipation was there. I didn't think I'd be on the hill. I thought I'd always be in a seat. When I knew that Mayo was going to be there, I had the hunch Mayo was going to fill the hill. And boy, did we fill it. And we made it our own yesterday. And I remember standing next to two girls from Claire Morris, a lot younger than me, believe me. And I says, we chatted for a few minutes, and there was a few Kerry supporters, and they were so gracious at the finish. They were really delighted, came down, shook my hand. And it was just as they were all saying, you know, we were in one of the most historic places in Croke Park. And, you know, the anticipation, and there's a special anticipation. And as Annette says, the connections, Achill has such a connection with Jack Kearney through the Kearney family, Pat Kearney and Nelly. He was the sergeant here for decades, and the connection with the friendships and all of that. And Jack, we very much Kilmina, and Jack would be very much considered one of our own. But, you know, we've all remembered going up over the 40 years and the disappointments, but the hope, and where you've got hope and belief, and the people that would have experienced the great teams, the Mayo teams of the 60s and that, going to Connacht finals, and you spend time with these people on buses, travelling back and travelling up, travelling back, car loads of people, and not a load of money at people either, but they'd make the journeys, they'd have the support, they'd have the belief, maybe this is our moment, 87, 85, you know, 89, year after year after year, we kept going to the well, we came so close, but yesterday was our day, and it will be historic, and we just didn't win it.
It was was absolutely
Jack O'Connor. Like Jack O'Connor is he's a legend, because like Jack O'Shea and the great Kerry manager beforehand, he Mick O'Dwyer, you know, Jack O'Connor's in there with those people. But look, Andy Morton and his wonderful boys, the team effort. And they had the support. As they know, they've always got the support. And we've got belief down here in Mayo.
Because that's all that matters.
We have a diaspora all around the world.
You do. And actually, funny you mention that. And stick with me, James, for a moment, because just when you mention that diaspora abroad, I just want to bring in Sarah. Sarah Rowe, former Mayo footballer, is joining us here at Lunchtime Live from Australia this afternoon. Sarah, how are you feeling today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not bad at all.
A lot better than the rest of the Mayo cohort.
I can only imagine you must be really missing home today.
Oh, I think that's the thing. I think anyone who's away from home at the moment will be feeling that bit more homesick. But also, I think the joys of sometimes it's blessing them. Curse, but when you get to see the videos from afar and you just look at it, and it's just incredible to see what's happening at home. But it feels surreal. Like I woke up at 20 past two in the morning. I slept through a good part of the game. I woke up and all I just got notification from my dad, Mayo win. I was just like wired for the night, then didn't go back to sleep after that. So
did it feel
so that's how my night went
when you saw the notification, or sorry, the text, the message from your dad to say Mayo have won? You probably thought you were dreaming, did you?
I thought I was dreaming, because I was like, why did my body wake me up at 20 past two in the morning? The game had only finished a minute before that. I was like, I just naturally woke. And I was like, this is weird. I was like, Mayo's in my veins. So I couldn't believe it. And I was just like watching all the videos. My other sister's over in Australia at the moment. My dad's actually over in Australia at the moment. We'd all normally be home. We've been at every other All-Ireland final. So it's kind of one of those things that you go, oh my God, it's amazing. But it does, it touches you deeply, and particularly from afar.
The celebrations today, obviously in Castlebar, and I mean, they're talking about, you know, the monumental homecoming that's going to take place. What does it mean for the people of Mayo, Sarah?
Oh, it just means so much more than words can ever describe, because I think that was why I was so wired this morning. I was thinking about all the people that have been involved in this particular Mayo team and how many years in the making this was, and the boys that have come before, like Shamie O'Shea being a part of our family now, knowing that, like, the input that he had over the years and the impact that so many players have had that aren't playing or weren't playing on that weekend. But then looking at Andy Moran and the older guys who are involved in the team, and incredibly happy for those guys. And then obviously the youth of the team, when you look at them, you're like, it's just so refreshing to see these young boys coming through. But I just think there's so many people it touches. It's the old, it's the young, it
Yeah.
brings everyone together. It's like there's no kind of, it's just this group of people. It actually hits everyone, and I think everyone is filled with emotion with this one.
I think it nearly brought 31 counties together, with the exception of Kerry yesterday. It felt like the whole country was rooting for Mayo.
Literally, I know there's people in college that I would have seen. I was just on Off the Ball prior to this with Donny Smith, and
Yeah.
he was talking about like he's a Roscommon man, but he was still delighted for Mayo. And you're like, that doesn't normally happen. It's like you're never happy for the county, you're another county winning.
Well, I was working in our pub at home in Bundoran yesterday for the match, and I never thought I would see the pub with 99.9% support for County Mayo, between jerseys and flags and the one sole Kerry man that was in the middle of it all. But it was just so spectacular to see people, take to their feet and cheering on Mayo, and people were just so delighted for the team. Sarah, I hope you're going to get to enjoy some of the celebrations down under this afternoon.
Oh, I wish, I wish. I'm actually preparing for the upcoming AFLW clash between
Oh
Ireland
God,
and
right.
Australia. So we play on Saturday, and that's what I realized as well. I was like, sport doesn't give you a choice of when you want to let rip and when you don't want to. So I have no choice in the matter. I'm meant to be training today, tomorrow, the next day. So I'll have to celebrate at the weekend when we play
Yeah.
Australia.
Whenever you get back home, I'm sure the celebrations will continue for quite some time. But listen, we appreciate you joining us, Sarah, here on Lunchtime Live today. That's, of course, Sarah Rowe, former Mayo footballer. Donald Doc Hughes, GAA goalkeeping coach, but I suppose more importantly, Donald, proud Mayo man this afternoon.
Super proud, and great to hear Sarah there,
Yeah.
Andrea. My coach of the Mayo ladies for a long time, and I met her teammate Aileen Gilroy outside Croke Park yesterday when we came out. And as everybody just said, the amount of emotion flowing was just incredible. I think we all went up kind of to celebrate the day. It was almost like a free hit, and then, but just to, as the game went on, to get it done, Andrea, and to realise that this is actually going to happen. And the emotion, I think we're all conditioned to deal with grief in Mayo, but when it all came good, it was just incredible. I don't think I've ever cried as much in my life, and I nearly cried again listening to Annette there at the
Annette,
start.
I
You know,
know.
it still is very emotional, yeah.
At what point did you realise yesterday, Donal, that you were going to do it?
Probably 1 minute from the end. As I said, like I'm long enough in the tooth, in football, just to kind of always expect the worst. But you know what, Andrea, these guys with the youth mixed with the experience, like they just, it's just different for them. They know what it's like to win and how to go and get the job done. And as all the other contributors have said, Andy Moran is such a positive, enthusiastic man. The positivity is incredible. And I think that's really what made the difference. These guys didn't know that they were going, they just got the job done, and they weren't going to give in. Whereas in other years, we might have capitulated. Yesterday it was different.
From a tactical point of view, I know you're not involved with this Mayo team, Donald, but as somebody working, with as a goalkeeping coach and on the tactical side of things, was there something different about the approach yesterday, aside from
Well,
the?
do you know what, Andre? I was trying to think about it. What you've got, in every county, you've got goalkeeping is a very individual type of position. It's often a lonely position. There's an awful lot of responsibility on you, and the goalkeeping as a job has changed over the years, and now you've kind of got to be like a quarterback. You have to do a lot of work on the field, but you've got to do an awful lot of work off it, learning patterns, setups, plays like that. There's a lot more involved in it. But yesterday, On this Mayo winning team, you had Jack Livingston, a young goalkeeper from a club near Castlebar called Brafey, and his sub keeper played in goal for many years and also played for Brafey, Rob Henley. So for the two of those guys to get together, and imagine like what a mentor Rob is to Jack. And then as a coach, they have a man from Donegal, Paul Durkin, who has roots in Mayo. And it's just, you know, we always talk in goalkeeping about the goalkeeper union and the positivity, because it's oftentimes a position that gets a lot of flack. So I think, yes, every little bit helps. And I just think they had a great setup, and fair play, they got it done. Before I go as well, I know all the others are talking about, you know, the connections with their club. And I just want to say, as the crow flies, Andrea, from us here is Tommy Conroy's parents' house. And I'm so happy for them this morning and for Tommy after his injury. And we had another brilliant young player from our club, the Neil, Tom Lydon, who is going to get an All-Ireland Senior Winners Medal, which is just absolutely incredible, and he deserves it. And it's stories like that all over Mayo this morning. I'm so happy for
There's
them.
Loads of those texts coming in, Donal, as well, and I do want to get to those in a moment. Will you make it back to Castlebar for the homecoming?
Well, I'm actually in the gym here preemptively trying to burn the calories that I know I'm going to take in. I've no choice. I cried so much yesterday, I had to go to the gym to prove that I'm actually strong and not a wuss. So we have to go to Castlebar. I mean, this you know, as the song said, to win just once, and we got our just once. And whatever happens from here, Andrea, is a bonus. So of course we'll go to Castlebar.
There's a great sign on a shop front in Mayo today that I've just spotted on social media that reads, "Close today, lads. Mayo are champions. I'm in bits from last night. Not able. We'll be back on Wednesday." Signed Mick on one of the shop fronts in Mayo today. And I'd say he speaks for a lot of business people. Great to see so many out celebrating. Donal, listen, we really appreciate your time. Thanks a million for joining us. This was the voice of County Mayo, Tommy Martin. Broadcaster with Midwest Radio, is with us here on the programme. Tommy, how were the celebrations this lunchtime?
Well, as all of your contributors have been saying, Andrea, it's like giving somebody an anaesthetic at 5:30 on a Sunday evening. And the anaesthetic is now only starting to wear off. And people are starting to realise that this is not a dream. This is actually reality. And, you know, we've covered storms and landslides and local elections. You know yourself from a local radio perspective how busy that is. But you can add all of those together and multiply it by 10 as to what we've been going through since 5:30 yesterday evening. It's just such an outpouring of emotion. I'm not a Mayo man, but I've been working in Mayo for 38 years. It is. And, you know, I feel the emotion and I feel it for these supporters and for these people. We had a lovely interview this morning with Geraldine O'Mahony, the wife of the late John, and she was so incredible in that interview, saying that, you know, it was just what Mayo needed and what they deserved. And what she loved about it, and I think what most supporters love about it, is it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't like they just literally dragged themselves over the line. They were well and truly the best team by a mile. And that's made it all the sweeter. It wasn't like a fluky goal at the end or a point. And the manner of the win is something that has been really highlighted on the radio programme this morning. And also the backroom teams. You know, we spoke to one mother of one of the performance
I actually was listening to you, Tommy, would you believe, this morning after 9 o'clock. And I heard you talk to that mother, to the strength and conditioning coach's mum on the show, you know, about the team behind the team and the support that they have and the messages coming in from abroad. And it's so spectacular to hear, you know, the different people that are from Mayo living in different parts of Dundalk and all over the country and across the world talk about what it means to them. So
exactly. And, you know, there was something different about the approach to this one. Like previous years, Mayo supporters were genuinely hopeful, but they wouldn't be any more than that. There was something about this year, you know, the white jersey that was worn in 1951. You know, it was Reek Sunday yesterday. So many supporters climbed the Reek early in the morning and then went to Crow Park. It was Grandparents' Day in Knock, and thousands of candles were lit. In fact, we believe thousands of people went to Knock Shrine on Saturday ahead of the game. There was just something different about this from the get-go after that Monaghan game. And it just built and it built and it built. And there was a kind of a real confidence that this was the year. 75 is kind of a nice number too, to break the duck.
Absolutely spectacular, Tommy. The homecoming tonight, I mean, how is Castlebar going to cope with it?
Well, that's the big question. We spoke to the traffic, the Gardaí, to Mayo GAA. They're expecting 30 to 40,000. People are saying there'll be a lot more than that, and that they won't be able to accommodate them all. I guess it's just going to be, you know, line up your ducks and hope none of them fall apart. And from the Garda's perspective, they're asking people to be vigilant, to come early. The gates open at 3 o'clock. It's something, Andrea, that this county has never, ever experienced before. So we simply not know the volumes of it, but it's going to be huge.
Well, just on that, and the homecoming tonight, Donal Healy, who's the head of marketing with Knock Airport, is joining us here, Tommy, on the line as well. I suppose they're flying in from across the globe, Donal.
Yeah, Andrea, they're flying in and flying out. On Friday there, we kind of spoke to a lot of passengers who were coming in, and it was amazing, the amount of people who come in from overseas. And it's one of those things that people have been coming for so long, the last 25 plus years, to finals. And it's that thing, you don't want to miss the one that they may finally get over the line. So we had people coming in from Dubai, Australia, all over the UK, and there was families were there to meet them. And of course, the usual hunt, did they have a ticket, did they not have a ticket? So as Tommy said, it was one of those things where a lot of stars were aligning, but I think the expectation going up with people was that maybe, you know, probably the expectation was the least it's ever been going to Croke Park. So to do it in the manner they did was fantastic.
Absolutely.
Tommy said they're by far the best team. And, you know, when you consider back in 1989 when the late John O'Mahony got Mayo to the final, they actually flew back into the airport. But since they won it in 51, the airport wasn't even there. So a lot has happened since the last one, the All-Ireland.
In that time. I thought they might have flown down today.
Yeah, there was talk of it, but I think you talk about McHale Park trying to cater for 40,000. I can only imagine us at the airport trying to cater for 40,000 people whilst you have flights going in and out all over Europe. It would be a logistical headache that I certainly wouldn't have needed as the operations manager today as we went away down from Dublin.
Yeah, it'll be a busy couple of days. I saw people posting on their social media last night about booking last minute flights, you know, from London into Knock this afternoon, Donal, to make sure they're there in time for the homecoming party.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, as you said, people just don't want to miss these things. No. There was an element of us, would it ever happen? So, and you know, to see the people coming home, as I said, from Dubai and Australia, there'll be sore heads going back in the next few days, but it'll all be worth it.
Absolutely. Well, look, enjoy the celebrations and a busy couple of days for yourself and all the gang there at Knock Airport as well. Do you know, we're going to continue chatting to Mayo fans and supporters, and we want to hear about your emotions today, how you're feeling after Mayo's win yesterday. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com, or you can get us on 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. Paddy Morrison is with me on the line today. Paddy, I believe your dad, John, would have been a very happy man this Monday.
Yes, he'd have been very proud yesterday and I, after Mayo, we left in Sam. So he would have been, they put a lot of work in with himself and Mickey Moran, even with Andy Moran, the manager, who was on the team 20 years ago with him. So yeah, they've been very happy. He was definitely smiling down yesterday.
Yeah, he coached your late dad John coached Mayo. Is that right?
He coached Mayo in 2006. The last time they played Kerry in the All-Ireland final. So we did 20 years ago this year. So just some of the connections that are still there. Jack O'Connor was manager of Kerry then. Kieran Donahue's on the management team was playing. Andy Moran, Kieran McDonald's son Kobe playing. So. Yeah, just the connections there.
Huge connections. Were you in Croke Park yourself, Paddy, yesterday?
I was not, no. I was actually in the Briefy House Hotel watching it.
Right.
Just outside Castlebar, so we decided to come down for the weekend.
Just soak
just
it all up.
Around Mayo. Yeah, just to soak it all up.
Yeah.
And just the scenes last night after the final whistle went were just mental.
There's a lovely text in here, Paddy, and delighted you got in touch and you've joined us today from a listener to say that your late dad, John, was the right-hand man of team manager Mickey Moran, and the big Armagh man developed a great love of the green and red, apparently.
He loved Mayo. He that year he spent down here with him and Mickey, he just got a real fondness for it. And, I mean, the people of Mayo just gave him that great Mayo welcome that they have, so and him and Kieran McDonald became great friends. And, you know, about 8 or 9 months after Daddy had died, Kieran organised a match in memory of Daddy. So we had come down for it as well. So it was great. Like,
did you get to meet Kieran yesterday?
I never got meeting Kieran yesterday. I know I never got meeting him, but I will ring him during the week when everything sort of settles down again. I'm sure he's spending time with Kobe and that. So
yeah.
We'll just wait till the dust settles and then we'll start contacting the people whenever it sort of starts to sink in.
There was obviously something in your own mind, the back of your own mind, Paddy, that brought you to Brafey House Hotel for the weekend. You must have anticipated the likely result, did you?
Well, it's a funny story because we actually weren't coming down. It was my sister who was coming down, and just whatever happened, she had one of her sons had to go in for just a surgery, a bit of back surgery to get so it had been pumped up the queue. So she asked, "Did we want to come down instead?" And we decided, "Yeah, sure, we'll go down." And just coming down the road, I just got a feeling that Mayo we're gonna do it, you know. So I had a black stone from Daddy's grave in my pocket all day yesterday, and I must have rubbed it thin, sorted. So, it worked the treat and worked the charm.
He was with you somewhat then, Paddy, yesterday. It's a lovely story, that.
Yeah, it was great. And we're glad we were down in Mayo when it's just to see you end that 75 years.
It's pretty unbelievable, and I know, coming from Donegal myself, that there was probably a lot of hurt that there was no Ulster team managed to make it to the final this year, but I think the whole country, with the exception maybe of Kerry, were supporting Mayo yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, but look, even the texts and Facebook messages and stuff I've been getting from people back home, you know, saying that Daddy would be proud and he'd be happy, like, so I mean, even a lot of Armagh people would have started supporting Mayo, you know, when Daddy was managing them too, like, so they still have that sort of soft spot
that
for them
connection.
As well.
Yeah, you're going to stay on and attend the homecoming in Castlebar tonight?
No, I actually have to get down home. I'm heavily involved in coaching myself.
Oh,
I'm actually in Louth tonight, so I have to get
there's no rest.
I have to get home and that's it. There's no rest for the wicket, as I said, you know. So.
Well, it's lovely. It's lovely.
Lovely
to talk to you, Paddy, today, and we appreciate you getting in touch and sharing the story. And I know, I'm sure, a lot of emotion for yourself, even thinking of your dad, your late dad, John Morrison, yesterday afternoon. But thanks a million for your time, Paddy. That's Paddy Morrison, there, son of John Morrison, former Mayo coach from the 2006 All Ireland final. Derek Riley from Nevo was with us on the program today because, Derek, you're a proud Mayo man.
Proud Mayo man, proud Mayo GAA supporter, and because of you, Andrea, I've pulled in from the convoy on the way down to the homecoming. We're here in Strokestown, and it's like a very long wedding convoy here in front
really?
Of all the cars passing by with flags and everything. I hope I don't miss my spot inside in McHale Park now, Andrea, because of this phone call.
Hopefully not. It sounds, by all accounts, like you're getting down good and early. I can only imagine you were probably hugely emotional yesterday, Derek.
Unbelievable, yeah. We lost our dad 2 years ago, and he was a huge Mayo supporter, and just it would have been great to have him there. And I just had a feeling that this was the year, so I proposed to my long-suffering girlfriend in end of March after 9 years, and I said, the only reason I'm proposing to you this year is because Mayo is going to win the All-Ireland. So there was pressure on from all sides, but I've never cried as much.
Eric.
Yeah, there was a caveat there, Andrea, but I've never cried as much, and it was just everybody around me and the real supporters that have been enduring a lot of, I like to call this, character building over the years, and it's just been just a release of emotions. It's been phenomenal, and it's going to be the same again tonight.
Where were you? Were you in Croke Park yesterday?
Yeah, Lower Cusick. I'm a season ticket holder, thankfully, so went to all the games this year, and then I was guaranteed the final ticket, so it was great. So that pressure was off, and we were just two rows back from the Lower Cusick, right from the sideline. So yeah, great seats, and just to be in the park and to have gone to so many games and to be there and to experience it. And I've never left Croke Park as slow in my life. Usually you're out the door fairly quick after getting a close call or a hiding as a Mayo supporter. But yesterday we hung around as long as we could. We were getting pushed out of the stadium. by the staff. So yeah, it was phenomenal.
It was pretty, I thought, spectacular as well to see, you know, so many Kerry fans stick around, Derek, for the celebrations as well. I thought it was
very gracious.
Yeah,
very gracious. In fairness to them, I know there was a bit of shenanigans going on with the handshaking at the start, and they'll be talking about that. But we're going to take the whole victory, and in the spirit of the game, it was a great game. There was very little fouling going on, so. It was just a great game of football, a great showing of what the GAA sport could be and football could be. And credit to the team that changed the rules and updated it, because it was getting into a dark place. But just to sit back and as a neutral, I'm sure, up in Donegal, and people just, we all wanted a good game. We didn't want a huge difference between either team. And as the underdogs, we went in thinking nobody gave us a chance, no pundit said that we were going to do it, and it was great to just to you can hear the hooting in the background.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I love it. And it's so great to chat to so many Mayo fans and supporters and listeners in the programme today. We came in this morning, there was loads of emails in from people, you know, telling their tales and their stories and about what it means to them, and that's why we want to chat to people about all of this today. But listen, Derek, I'll let you get back on the road, because I know you're trying to, as you said, get your spot in McHale Park for the homecoming celebrations tonight. Tommy Rooney will be with us after one to tell us about that. But Owen Duffy is on the line. Owen is from Jimmy's Drive Through Coffee in Ballina. What's the atmosphere like this lunchtime, Owen?
Hey, Andrea, absolute carnival atmosphere here.
Is it?
Class. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, such a buzz. The cars just coming through. We opened later today. Like, we were thinking, will we open at all? We were like, no, we have to give the service. We have to look after the people who are going to Castlebar today. It's just unbelievable here.
Are you the business that's operating the Kobe Cup, as I've heard it's been described?
Yeah, it's nearly immortalised now, but I'm going to have to order a few more.
And you're in the business of obviously selling coffee and nice coffees and everything that goes with that and your drive-through business. And I can only imagine, as Derek mentioned, their own, with fans trying to make their way to Castlebar for the homecoming tonight, you'll have a long day.
Yeah, no, we're going to close early, don't worry. But it's unbelievable to see the reaction of people coming through. It's like nearly utopia, what you would have imagined. Everyone thought, even yesterday in Croke Park, like, everyone thought, how would you celebrate? How would it be? And then it was nearly just, it was like this release of emotions, just crying and people just hugging each other. Well, it was not even that kind of raw, roaring kind of a sound. It was just, it was crazy.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Are there huge crowds already gathering in Ballina?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. There's, we're flat out. I think not everywhere is open today, so it's crazy for us. But, you know, it's like, we named the coffee shop after our dad, Jimmy, who died 6 years ago today. So it's a serious, like, it's emotional. It's emotional for us, too, as well. And he never watched the games. He was too nervous. He'd go down to the bleak woods and he'd just hear, and he'd say, well, if I hear the horns beeping around the town, I'll know if we won. And he never heard them. And I think he would have heard them from above today, because it was just crazy. The town has gone nuts.
Yeah, it's so emotional, the whole thing, isn't it?
It is. I think it's literally not even the sport. It's a sporting occasion, but it's like defines what a class County Mayo is. It's just pure passion, pure heart. It's just that was like those legends there yesterday. They're obviously going to be legends for life, but they just like justified everything that what we are as a county. And I think, you know, the whole country being behind us besides Kerry, obviously. You know, it's been unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I should say that's not the only, but one of a few texts in from this listener who says she's I'm a Kerry Munster woman, and the Mayo win yesterday brought me so much joy. They're just salt to the earth people, and it's absolutely great for the entire country, says this texter. And I think she speaks for a lot of people this afternoon. Owen, we'll let you get back to it. A busy afternoon ahead. Thanks a million for getting in touch with us here on Lunchtime Live. 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. Stay with us. More in a few moments. We've been talking to fans here on the programme since 12 o'clock today. Mayo fans, of course, I should say, who've been getting in touch to share their emotions after their historic win in Croke Park yesterday. Off the Ball's Tommy Rooney is with me on the programme. Tommy, you're currently en route to Castlebar. I presume they're going to have to upscale the homecoming plans.
Well, Andrea, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I've pulled over here. I'm in the heart of Westmeath at the minute. I'm looking out at beautiful Loch Owel on the left, and getting little heart palpitations seeing the lines of traffic going by me on the right.
Really?
I'm just pulled over. Yeah, they're just like, am I going to make it tonight to Castlebar? That's the big question here.
Well,
you know,
we've been talking to fans since 12, and I mean, the number of people, neutral supporters, planning to get to Mayo for the homecoming celebrations, it's going to be huge numbers.
Hey, we know how to do a festival in this country, and it is going to be a festival of fun in Mayo this week. I'm covering it tonight, Andrea, for News Talk, and for some reason the lads didn't think I needed a hotel room. They seem to think I have enough contacts in the county to get my own bed tonight, so I hope I do get put up somewhere, but if not, I'm sure I'll squeeze in beside Owen Sheehan, because we're doing the show live.
Yeah, and the Hard Shoulder are coming, of course, from McHale Park later this evening, so you can possibly hop in with them if you're that stuck. What's the plan, though? What's actually happened?
So I was just actually chatting to a couple of members in the backroom team there in the last couple of minutes just to see where they are and how they're getting on. They have just got back from their duties this morning. So I was there early this morning and I caught up with, like, Annie Moran was straight out of the elevator at 7:45 a.m. Colin Boyle's coach was next. Matty Ruan was the first Mayo footballer down this morning. So I just want to say big credit and big shout out to Matty Ruan. He was the freshest man in Mayo this morning. Fair play to him. And then Jordan Flynn and Kobe McDonald and some others started making their way down. And by about 10 o'clock in the morning, they were all down and had their breakfast and they went off to the Crumlin Children's Hospital. I'm sure you've seen some of the photos and some of the interviews back from that already. They went then and I think they stopped off by the Boar's Head, the Great Boar's Head, ran by Hugh Horican over on Capel Street. They got their folder there and maybe they stopped off for a beverage. And then they went back to the Radisson Blue where they stayed last night. And they're now on their way to Houston where they're getting a train. I presume it's Houston. Is it Houston to get the train to Castlebar?
I assume
they're
it
on the way
be,
to the train station anyway. So, they're getting a train. They're going to be back in Castlebar tonight at 5 o'clock, I believe. And then they're going to make their way from the train station to McHale Park. Now, the word on the street in Castlebar is that there's already thousands of people queuing outside there. McHale Park. And they're not opening the gate until 3 o'clock. So, you know, there's going to be an outrageous crowd there tonight. They're saying that the players are going to be in the stadium around 6 o'clock. I don't believe that. I've covered homecomings that have been significant and have been huge and been celebrated. But I've never covered a homecoming like the Mayo one that they've just... that had just done. So I'd say it could be 9 o'clock tonight before we see a Mayo footballer in McHale Park.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's just going to be pretty incredible. I mean, the emotion that we've been hearing on the programme, Tommy, from so many fans and listeners and supporters getting in touch, talking about, you know, their parents and family members that have passed away and how much it means to them. And just so many people want to be there. They want to be part of history this evening and just enjoying the triumphant celebrations. I know you want to get back on the road as well, Tommy, when you talk about the lines of traffic that are making their way to Mayo. So we'll leave you to it for the moment, Tommy. Thanks a million for joining us on the programme. Catherine is with me on the line today because, Catherine, you and your dad were both at that match yesterday.
We were, yeah. Hiya.
How are things?
Good, yeah. We were great after after yesterday. A little tired, but yeah, absolutely wonderful. We had a fabulous time and, you know, the whole country has had a lift from it, I think, and especially the good people of Mayo.
I think there's, you know, you've an emotional connection with, of course, the Mayo team, with the match yesterday. Your dad, I think, Catherine, is with us on the line as well. Is that right?
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah. Good afternoon. That's right, yes. How are you keeping?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, thanks.
Who am I talking to?
Never better. John Noon.
John Noon. John, it's lovely to talk to you. And of course, your daughter, Catherine, former Senator Catherine Noon, with us as well here on the programme today. How did it feel to see Mayo win yesterday?
Oh, it was so good. It was just, we were elated. It was ecstatic. It was wonderful. It was to see tears in people's eyes and people blessing themselves. And Thanksgiving, you know, it was just, it was very, very emotional.
I believe you were at the...
The volume of sound was never louder in Croke Park when the Hooter went, you know. We had a huge, huge attendance.
I believe, John, you were at the last match, the last time Mayo won.
I was in 1951. What happened that time was we had cousins in a walk from Croke Park in Glasnevin. And my late brother and I went up the week before and with cousins of similar age and they brought us to the match and we saw everything.
What age were you, John?
14.
You were 14 the last time Mayo won?
In 51, yeah.
Wow.
14 and a half, and my birthday's in January, and this was in September, so I was sort of 14 three quarters.
Yeah. You remember that day well, obviously.
Oh, I do. I remember it well. I remember certain things. I always tell people about the famous Beckham bend that Tom Langan scored the great goal that meant the meaning of the match. You know, he practiced it the night before in the hotel. He had one of the guys throwing a cushion at him, and he was telling them how he could, you know, sidestep Paddy Hands O'Brien. Paddy Hands O'Brien was the great mead fullback at the time. And it worked for him the following day. It was lucky.
It was just lucky.
Yeah.
You've probably, Catherine, over the years, I'm sure you've heard your dad recall all of these memories and the losses. And I mean, I'm sure.
Oh, listen.
Yeah, growing up with that.
We were there for them all, Andrea. Well, as long as I was kind of old enough to go to Croke Park, we've been there together for most of them anyway. And we've had a lot of heartbreak. And, you know, it's just so nice to walk out of Croke Park victorious, you know, that we had that kind of very familiar feeling of losing, you know, which, you know, the likes of Kerry never had to kind of endure. So, the memories, and my father's brother played for Mayo back in the day, and after the last time they won, actually. So he was years playing for Mayo, and football was always discussed at length in his butcher shop in Claremorris. And, you know, it was a real discussion point in our house, the GAA.
Yeah.
Definitely for Dad, anyway. So, you know, it's really wonderful for everyone in Mayo. We're so, you know, thrilled. It's hard. It's actually hard to put it into words.
Yeah. It's very emotional, Catherine.
People. And the people we met there yesterday, you know, and men of a similar age to Dad kind of hugging him and, you know, recognizing immediately that they'd seen a lot of loss. And, you know, everyone was tearful, and it was really special, you know, really, really special.
Did you ever think, John, that you'd see another win after all the heartache in Croke Park over the years?
Oh, well, if you told us in 1951 that we wouldn't win until yesterday, we'd laugh at you, because we thought we'd be winning every second year, you know.
But yeah.
It just, for one reason or another, it didn't happen. It took all that length. But the lads yesterday, they had the never say die hunger for the match. But of course, that in itself, without great skill, and that team have an awful lot of skill and strength, you know. So I think for next year, they're really only in transition. I'd say for next year, they'll be brilliant.
Plenty more big days to come.
We're starting to sound like Kerry now.
This is what happens when you win just once, you know.
I want to mention that Dara Byrne in particular. I'm very good friends with his aunt and his mother, Denise and Linda, and we're all very proud of him in particular in Claremorris. You know, his father played for Mayo as well, and you know, he'll hopefully bring the cup back to Claremorris club. You know, it's you know, we're all just super proud of him.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I hope, John, you'll head along to the celebrations tonight.
Oh yes, we'll be celebrating for a week.
Yeah,
longer.
A lot longer than that, for sure. I can only imagine, Catherine, the, you know, just the buzz in Claremorris and sure Castlebar, and we were talking to Tommy there, I mean, sure, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's unreal. Sure, even in Dublin this morning, you know, everyone's beeping. I have little flags on my car, and you know, everyone is cheering and beeping. And you know, the toll bridge at Enfield, you know, the scenes from that, just incredible. And bonfires being lit by our neighbours in Roscommon as people are coming through. And you know, the West is awake big time. You know, it's it's quite emotional, actually.
It is, and the texts and the stories that have been coming in from, you know, people who've relatives of people who've passed on, and Mayo supporters over the years, and just how over the moon, John, they are. It's a lovely moment, isn't it?
I remember one funny incident. Well, it wasn't so funny if it hit somebody, but one guy was so happy when the final whistle went with sheer joy and relief that he had a transistor radio with him, and he threw it up a mile up in the air, and I don't know where it landed.
Well, hopefully hopefully he's been reunited with us, because it'll be a lovely moment or a lovely memento for him to have from an absolutely spectacular day. But look, it's lovely to chat to you both, and delighted you got in touch, and enjoy the celebrations, John and Catherine Noon there. Really appreciate your time on the programme. I want to talk to one of the men behind this Mayo anthem.
Oh, the green and red Mayo, I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland, the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me, stay forevermore, forevermore.
Pierce Doherty from the Saw Doctors, you're very welcome to Lunchtime Live today. Pierce, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for having me on.
It's lovely to chat to you, Pierce, on the show. And like, my God, between To Win Just Once and the Green and Red of Mayo, I mean, it's an unbelievable to see the two songs. Were they 1 and 3 in the iTunes charts here in Ireland earlier this morning?
It's all happened overnight. Yeah, all of a sudden we're back top of the charts in Ireland. Phenomenal. I mean, it's such an emotional time for the band. The song, I mean, we've played the song for years now. It was on our second album. And, I mean, Davey always used to say, you know, at every gig, as soon as we'd start the Green and Red of Mayo, the crowd would part and a Mayo jersey would come towards the front of the stage. And every night, Sydney, Cleveland, New York, Los Angeles, London, anywhere we played, there was always a Mayo jersey in the crowd. And they've been really good to us. It's been great. Yeah. It's so emotional for the band to hear this after such an epic game of football, such an epic victory, you know. David versus Goliath, Mayo coming and taking Sam Maguire back west. It's phenomenal.
Where did you watch the game, Pierce, yesterday?
I watched the game at home by myself. I can't watch football with anybody. And to tell you the truth, I walked around the second half. I was walking around the garden and just dipping in and dipping out, you know. But I was such a bag of nerves. And I'm so proud of all the lads. Tommy Conroy, wrecked with injury for the last 2 years, coming back and playing like that yesterday. Like, phenomenal. Yeah, fantastic.
It's unbelievable. It's funny though, because, you know, you're listening and I was watching the matches. I was working in our pub at home yesterday, and, you know, the Green and Red of Mayo belting out across Croke Park Stadium, and the whole team there in a white jersey. So you're going to have to put pen to paper and get lyrics going for a new Mayo anthem to mark this occasion.
That song was actually written on the boat coming back from Clare Island, and Leo and a man called Jerry Mulholland, God rest him, a.k.a. Jar Yer Al Majar, had the lyrics. And I remember we walked into Clare Galway to the rehearsal space. I remember Leo handing Davy, and Davy got out into the other room, and he just walked back in and he just went, oh, the green and red. And that was it. Like, there was the song, you know.
It just
happened, and you know, over the space of a day. And it's been a great friend for the band since. And, you know, we've got Clare Island there as well. There's a song called Galway and Mayo, and there's the Hay Rap. So Mayo has been such an inspiration for the band over the years, being borders with the band, of course, you know, but the border of Galway, you know.
Yeah. To Win Just Once, I mean, that's third, I think, at the moment, isn't it, in the iTunes charts? But are there plans to write something else?
I mean, we're always writing. We've got new songs up on Spotify. We're working on releasing an album for early next year. So, yeah, we don't stop. We're at it all the time, yeah. So you never know what's going to come around the corner now with this celebration. And hopefully, you know, we'll get some more nuggets there, you know, for to play live.
Yeah, well, I think the Mayo fans have been getting in touch with us all afternoon to say there'll have to be a new Saw Doctors Mayo anthem for 2026 to mark their monumental win. Any plans to go to the homecoming tonight, Pierce? I'm sure the fans would love to see you on stage.
I mean, as a band, we're actually on holidays. Davey's gone off on a family holiday. We had a really fantastic concert last Friday night for the Galway Arts Festival in the Big Top, and Davey had planned a family holiday after that. But I do believe some of us are going down to Castlebar for a bit of the celebration, so hopefully we'll see people down there.
Oh, fantastic. I'm sure there'll be a bit of a sing-song.
Hopefully. Yeah. It always is in Mayo.
Absolutely. In Mayo. Look, Pierce, lovely to chat to you, and you know, great to see the soundtracks for, well, two of the soundtracks for the Saw Doctors, of course, many of them, but for the people of Mayo, I know it's very special to hear the Saw Doctors sing the two songs. We really appreciate it, Pierce, and thanks for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. 1800 453 106 is the number. Kevin is with us. Kevin, you've supported Mayo in as many, well, this was weird and wonderful places.
That's true, Andrea. Yeah, it was just as I was listening to your program there, I was hearing all these lovely stories of people supporting Mayo in various weird and wonderful places. But I was deploying to Chad in 2010, and my family bought me a pair of Mayo Crocs, which were kind of unusual at the time. So I had them in Chad, and then subsequently in Western Sahara in 2012, Mali 2013, Lebanon 2014, Israel 2015. Then I retired from the Defence Forces and I joined the UN. So I spent 4 years in the Central African Republic.
Wearing your Mayo Crocs.
Wearing my Mayo Crocs, yeah. And, you know, it was strange. I had to Google what was and where is the Central African Republic before I ended up there. That was interesting. A bit rough, but interesting. And then I spent another four and a bit years in the newest country in the world, South Sudan. And the Mayo Crocs followed me there as well.
The whole way around. Where did you watch the match yesterday, Kevin?
I watched it at home. I'm living in Loughrea.
Right.
So I'm half a Galway man now, even though I'm from Castlebar. Yeah. But it was fantastic. It was, in the last 2 minutes, and you thought, they were going to come back and get a two-pointer. But we did it in the end, and they really brought some great pride and pleasure to the Mayo people worldwide.
Yeah.
After that fabulous
performance. Somebody said to me in the pub yesterday, it'd be just so Mayo of Mayo to lose in the last 2 minutes, but thank God they were wrong, and
they hung on. Yeah, I was nearly down on my knees looking at it, but thankfully they pulled through. That was great.
Absolutely. I hope you'll get home to Castlebar for the celebration. Will you get to Castlebar for the celebrations tonight?
I'm hoping to get down later on in the week. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm sure to be mental there today. You wouldn't get parking within a few kilometres of Castlebar.
No. Well, somebody on the line with us, Kevin, who's hoping to definitely try and make it, is Paul Newell. Paul is from the band Guerrilla Radio, and you're actually... Well, you guys played for the Mayo team last night, Paul.
We did indeed, Andrea. Yeah, thanks so much. It was amazing last night. Great to see the team come in with the Sam Maguire. Everyone was in great form. The team were celebrating with their family and friends. It was an epic occasion and lots of electricity, as they say, in the room. It was great fun.
You're from McHale Park, though, for the homecoming this evening, aren't you?
Yes, we are. I'm just after arriving in here now. There's queues already at the gates for people trying to get in already. Yeah. They're walking up the back roads and everywhere trying to get in here today. It's the hot ticket in town.
Oh, it is nearly as good as the tickets for yesterday. As a Mayo band, though, Paul, must be just brilliant.
It's absolutely amazing. Like as I said, I was never any good at football, so I knew I wasn't going to be playing at McHale Park. But to be playing with the band, Guerrilla Radio, to be here with our band is absolutely amazing. To celebrate with the team. We've grown up watching all these guys for years, and even when, because I'm from Ballina myself, and watching all the lads that played with the Ballina Stephenites, and then they went on to play with Mayo, we've supported them all the time. So to be able to hear to be on the biggest day, the biggest stage, to be here today is amazing.
Well, we were just talking to Piers Doherty from the Saw Doctors a few moments ago, Paul, and he was just talking about how special County Mayo is, for the band and the support that they get from all of the GAA fans.
Yes, absolutely amazing. People love it. There's songs that they've wrote, and everyone has always followed the Saw Doctors. Anyone that's a Mayo supporter, they love singing songs. They know every word to every song, and they'll be belting them out again here today.
I've no doubt you'll have some celebrations tonight, Paul. Thanks a million for getting in touch. Paul Newell there from Guerrilla Radio, Kevin, Piers Doherty there from the Saw Doctors, and Catherine and her dad, John Noon. Thanks a million for getting in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.